This episode of the Night of Two Brewcast is brought to you by
Bishop's Cellar.
They're the seller of beer at Bishop's Landing, the Bishop's Cellar.
Yeah.
That absolutely is not what the name is about.
I don't think so.
Anyway, they're a podcast sponsor. You know the details. $150 if you spend it online. They'll ship your product anywhere in Nova Scotia for free. On top of that, just visit the website. You can check out all their beer, wine, spirit selection. Go visit them on the waterfront. It'd be awesome.
Links are in the show notes for all the those things. Yes.
Bishop's Cellar.
Get to her.
All right.
I always wondered how that would look live.
It's awful, isn't it?
We call it the sausage sometimes, but it's like nobody wants to see how it's made.
Exactly. In case you weren't aware, I don't know how you landed here if you weren't, but this is the 902 Brewcast, the East Coast Beer Podcast. This is Tony with me, as always, Kyle.
Yes.
Joining us today from Upstreet, as well as the focus of our conversation, Libra, today. We've got Hoagie. Hoagie, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing great. So this is going to be a 4.5 hour interview.
All right, can't wait.
It's a marathon today.
Yeah, we're starting right now. We're actually at the, just to quickly give everybody some context where we are, we're at the Stillwell Freehouse.
We are.
On Agricola Street.
It's the double-edged sword of having a mobile podcast is that if you're not going to somewhere that has a local location, you have nowhere to go.
Yep.
So is this or your hotel room, and we decided on this.
I didn't think there was going to be a lot of... I'd be kind of scared to go in there.
No. This is fine. I mean, it's a little bit noisy in the background, but...
It's not bad in here.
I'm trying not to get too distracted. I'm not really used to being around all these people.
Oh, man. I guess we're here to talk about Libra.
Yeah. We've been talking about it on and off for a few months now. We had a dry episode back in the winter.
Back in the Januaries.
Yes.
Yeah, I listened to that episode while I was shoveling my driveway.
dry curious, I think we said.
Yeah, dry curious, yeah. I mean, I've always enjoyed the Libra stuff that we've had, and I've got lots of questions, but I guess for people that are unaware, can you tell us a little bit about Libra and like how it came to be?
Yeah, sure. So, Libra has been around since October 2020 is when we launched it.
Wow. It's crazy to think that that's like almost 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like 20 years ago, given the pandemic.
To me like Libra's been around forever in my mind.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tangent. I'm sure there'll be lots of tangents today. But I was, I shared just, you know, an anniversary message to our staff yesterday. The Upstreet's 7th birthday was
right. Happy
was
anniversary.
Yesterday. Oh, thanks. Thanks very much. But I said that, you know, it feels like a brewery actually ages like a dog. So it's more like, it feels like Upstreet is 49. Yeah.
That's fair.
That's how many years you've aged in the last 7 years, probably. Yeah.
You're looking old, is what Kyle's trying to say.
He's 20 years old. Look at him.
Yeah, the brewery is older than I am now, finally. Yeah. We launched Upstreet in 2020, and... It was a couple years before that that I had sort of started like piloting some recipes and non-alcoholic beers,
right.
And Mitch and I, Mitch Cobb, my business partner, we were both really like curious about non-alcoholic beer and also just like trying to, you know, continue to grow the brewery and maybe find some sort of new products to develop, but. The non-alcoholic beer really kind of spoke to us as like, you know, potentially a way to get out to, you know, to find a balance. You know, it's like, it's great. You know, we have our third place double IPA and we have our white noise and can still have those nights, but often it's nice to have like, you know, it's nice not to have a third place for lunch. It's nice to have a pale ale. So, to find a balance in our own personal lives and beer consumption, as well as, you know, hopefully something that other people would also enjoy and want to buy too.
Yeah.
Yep. So we kind of started piloting. I remember like doing the first pilot in, it was like Easter weekend 2019 or something like that.
Right.
And I was just like, okay, actually, it was when we were kind of getting the brew house going over here in Dartmouth, too, and so I was really, like, I was kind of back and forth between both locations for a lot of that, for a lot of that year, so I was just, like, trying to squeeze in this pilot brew when I could, so, yeah, so it was, like, Easter Sunday, yeah.
Wow, brutal.
Yeah, and the Libra Rose. But the stone moved.
So the brewery itself, for people that don't know, Upstreet has two locations. You could get the brewery in, I mean, the brewery itself located on PEI, and then there's also one here in Dartmouth as part of like the Upstreet Barbecue Brew House.
Yeah.
So back between those two spaces, Libra comes to be, and you started with, what was the first beer? Was it the Pale Ale?
Yeah, the Pale Ale was the first beer. Yeah.
So, I always wondered, like, what is the process for making a non-alcoholic beer? I've heard there are different ways.
Yeah, so there's lots of different ways to make non-alcoholic beer. I'll start by, you know, talking about a bunch of ways that we don't use. But, so alcohol is, you know, to get right down to the basics, you know, alcohol is produced through the, you know, fermentation and the conversion of sugars into alcohol and CO2.
For sure.
With non-alcoholic beers, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's zero alcohol. It just means that it's really low in alcohol. As per the CFIA's definition of a non-alcoholic beer, it has to be between 0.4% and 1.1%.
Right.
Yeah. So you can have, you could have a zero, like a whatever, a totally 0%
totally
alcohol. Yeah. Beer, and a lot of those ones might be made with reverse osmosis or membrane filtration systems, where the beers are actually, they're brewed like a regular beer, and then the alcohol is removed either through like a filtration system or through heat or through like a, you know, vacuum distillation, and whatnot. And then there's, you know, other ways to do it, say through arrested fermentation would be one where you basically, you know, you brew a batch of beer and then you just sort of cut off the fermentation at the point where you're, you know, you reached your threshold for what you want the alcohol content to be, for example.
Does a process like that, like, have an impact on the flavor though?
Yeah, some of those other processes do have an impact. So I find like some of the vacuum distillation ones or the reverse osmosis or whatnot, those can actually they can oxidize the beer and so you can get like this sort of, you know, baked in like oxidized flavor with some of these beers that I find, and then some of the ones that are like arrested fermentation, I find that a lot of them taste like under attenuated or unfermented wort.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, they come off like really sweet and like under attenuated. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
which makes sense if you stop the
process.
Makes
sense, right? That's what you're doing. It tastes unfermented because you stop the fermentation.
You did ferment it and it tastes unfermented.
Yeah. So
that's science.
Yeah. So anyway, I really want. I mean, we've tried tons. Like we bought this like myusa.com like mailbox thing where like I can order beers from anywhere in the U.S. and then they ship to Florida and then they'll ship them up to Canada.
Okay.
So
okay.
All these non-alcoholic beers that we can't get in Canada, like we got this subscription, so we kind of order in like most of what we can get our hands on, kind of thing, just to try to like see what, you know, see how other people's beers are tasting and how ours line up to that or whatever. So anyway, the way Libra's brewed, I'm not going to say like every single fine detail
of it,
but it is like fully fermented. There's no, we don't cut off the fermentation process. So that kind of like, you know, eliminates some of that, wort flavor. It may still have, you know, some characteristics, obviously. It's never going to taste like a full on beer or whatever, but we don't use any specialty ingredients. You can also use other types of yeast that basically don't consume all the sugars,
right?
And so those ones again might leave a bit of a warty flavor too.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't use any different ingredients than what we use for our Upstreet beers.
Oh, wow.
It's just like a modified process, and I'll say that like I really really had to go back to like into like the deep fundamentals of brewing, I would say, to like figure out how to make the process worked.
That's really cool.
And yeah, and not every batch has turned out perfect. We've had to dump a bunch of batches too.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's learning, right?
Yeah. Part of the drill, yeah.
Yeah, totally. So and yeah, lots of piloting and stuff like that before a beer becomes like, you know, fully released into a can with a label and everything like that. Like it's taken on a few forms on the way there. Yeah.
Do you have like a pilot system you test the mode on, or is everything a full batch?
Yeah, we have a pilot system. It's like a Brewzilla. You can do like one keg on. Yeah.
Okay.
I also do like what I call like micro pilots that are just almost like stovetop brewing.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Maybe in a little bit more like controlled fashion. I take a lot more notes than I did when I was home brewing. Yeah, and then some of those ones we may just end up making like 2 liters of it,
really?
and carbonating with a soda stream, and we have one taste of it, and then we decide, okay, well, what did we learn from this? Are we gonna make another one? Are we gonna invest the time to make a keg, and then are we gonna invest the time to make, you know, 1,000 liters of it, kind of thing? So we try to scale it up in a controlled fashion or whatever, and not just wing it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we still wing some stuff.
But you gotta wing it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild. So yeah, started 2020. I mean, I would argue that like not a bad time to start that. Like it seemed like it caught, like Lieber caught on pretty quick.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think like I mean, from, you know, everyone got really excited about getting beer delivered at home in early 2020, but I think, I mean, like, I'm speaking for myself at least. I know we definitely like overindulged on the beers during the early early days of the pandemic, and you know, Zoom cut martinis and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Zoom teenies, that's the word I was looking for, but yeah, that was definitely a thing. So yeah, and then, you know, 2021 was more like, shit, this pandemic is still going on.
Yeah, we're still in this shit.
In this, so can't keep this up. Yeah. The pale ale. We're up to 5. I guess we've had 6 releases, really. So of like different recipes. Maybe some of those might be like same beer under a different name or whatever like that. But 6 unique beers, like since it's come out. So.
Yeah. So there's the pale ale, the hazy IPA.
Yep.
The stout, the cherry sour.
Yeah.
And cherry the sour.
And the Pilsner. And Pilsner. Can't forget about the Pilsner.
Yeah. And then the sixth one is the pumpkin.
That's right.
That's the only one. Yep.
So that'll be back again in August. Yeah.
The great pumpkin.
It's coming up.
The great pumpkin
season.
Does
that have real pumpkin in it?
Nope. do any pumpkin beer? I guess some
no,
would.
No, I don't think
very,
so.
Very, very few
most
do.
Don't.
Yeah.
They're pumpkin spice.
It's a pumpkin spice beer. Yeah. Just like the pumpkin spice latte. That's how I
no explained
it to the marketing team.
It's the only way to describe it.
Yeah.
People get it.
Yeah, totally.
So how, like, have, so with, you know, with those six beer, or non-alcoholic beer, I don't know, like, how do you, like, outside of the process, like, what other things are kind of different in the whole non-alcoholic world? I mean, you're playing 2 sides of the same coin in some ways, right? So
yeah. So like, what? Sorry, what's different?
Like,
about
I see, like,
the,
in the packaging, like, I noticed that there's nutritional requirements. That's coming for beer anyway. Eventually, is it not?
Yeah, it is. It is coming for beer. Yeah. Now you have to list ingredients.
Yeah.
And then I think it's only a matter of time before they add on nutritional requirements onto that. So yeah, there's a whole lot of things that are different. I would say so. Non-alcoholic beer is more like a food product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, we have an NSF food audit. You probably may have seen their stickers on different products or in different.
Yeah, it's
so
right
I don't.
On there.
It doesn't show. We don't have it on there or whatever.
Oh, okay,
but
I thought I saw it at one point.
Maybe we do. I don't know. Yeah.
I just work here.
Yeah. So yeah, we have a food, basically a food license now. Yeah. It doesn't, well, you never really get the food license. You basically just pass the, you just pass one audit after the other and maintain your status as a, And a lot of that is dictated by the customers. So we, again, that like, something else that's new is that we have a whole new customer base.
Right.
So like, Sobeys now is our second biggest customer, and we didn't even have them as a customer this time last year.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. And so with all that, yeah, it's like there's a lot more regulatory things to work through. So now we have a we've hired more staff. We have a dedicated quality control specialist who's basically just full-time job is just making sure we're always compliant with our food safety plan.
You have to be, right?
Doing training and, slapping people on the wrist for not filling out their paperwork and
TPS reports.
And whatnot. TPS reports, exactly. So So there's that, which I'll admit is the less fun side right. of it, of course. But the whole new customer base is really cool too, and the like different fun things we can do with that. Like we sponsored the Fredericton Harvest Festival
right.
With Libras, and we were able just to hand out full cans to people on the
right.
street and
right. yeah.
and walk around
yeah,
through,
yeah.
through the through the venue. Yeah, you can't do that with alcohol. Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
You guys have something coming up in Ottawa as well, right?
Yeah, so we're sponsoring the Ottawa Blues Fest. We'll be the first ever non-alcoholic beverage sponsor for that festival, which is kind of cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah. We're going up for a couple weekends. I guess it's not next weekend, but the weekend after is when it starts. Yeah, and I'll be up for the second weekend. I pulled rank and decided I wanted to go see Rage Against the Machine and the National.
Can't blame you there.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm going to do this. I'm doing this one.
You're going the first weekend. I'm going second weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's fine.
And you guys have Serena Ryder as kind of a spokesperson as well, correct?
Serena Ryder's our brand ambassador.
Right.
And sort of like how with Upstreet we have the Do Good Fund where we kind of set aside 1% of sales to sort of go towards different community organizations or art projects and whatnot. So on the Libra side, then 1% goes to her Art House Foundation, which is sort of a foundation to help help support artists with. With different wellness initiatives and mental health initiatives and stuff like that. So so that's pretty cool to be a part of that with
that's
her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we're gonna do a collaboration beer with her too.
Oh, fun!
That's gonna come out in the fall. Yeah, so we've piloted. I won't say what it is, but it's coming.
We'll see. I'm into it.
It's gonna wild array of flavors that she threw at me. Yeah,
amazing. Make it work. That's awesome, man. Because I was talking to you a minute ago. I remember you guys first made this Pace Pale Ale. I think you said it was back in 2019. It feels like it was way longer ago than that, but it was 1% and change or something. And it was seemed out of left field at the time, but then now as time goes on, it seems like maybe that was just like kind of one of the first stabs at getting this rolling.
Yeah, totally. That was the first attempt at sort of a recipe. And honestly, with that one, we kind of winged that one because they had done a few pilots, and then we're like, well, let's just try it. Let's just make a full batch, and if it turns out, we'll put it in cans.
Right.
yeah. And we're happy with it. Again, it wasn't quite as low in the alcohol as we wanted to go. Mm-hmm. It was on the upper end of the range or whatever. But it was a good. Definitely a good start, yeah.
And even now, Upstreet does some lower ABV stuff, right? You guys had like a beta IPA back in the winter, I think, or the fall.
We actually have we have four different beers out now that are sort of low calorie and low carb beers. So, we have Limelight, light lager. Again, they're all 4%, 100 calories, under. I mean, some of them have like 2 grams of carbs, and some of them are up to 9 or whatever. But we have Limelight, and then we have Cavalier, that's just a straight up light lager, and then we have the Go Go Goza, that's a plum plum sour.
Great name.
Yeah, that's a fun name. Yeah, and then we have our newest beer this year is Parks and Rec.
Okay.
So it's So yeah, it's a 3.5% session IPA.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm thinking. But I think you had it as like a beta.
Yeah, it came out as a beta, as a test recipe right. before Christmas.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Through the, there's a couple of those in that box or whatever nice. Beers that I gave you guys
in the car.
Yeah.
Go ahead, give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So with Libra, like where Upstreet's a B certified B Corp situation, does that extend through to Libra as well? Like, because it's all under the same brand.
It does extend. Yeah. It's all the same company. All the sort of the same like B Corp certification process and the same books and all that stuff that it goes through. Yeah.
If you had to manage, I mean, I know the answer to this question already, but if you had to manage in terms of like your production facility, like if this is taking off,
yeah,
how is that working with, you know, your Upstreet beer?
Oh yeah, yeah. So it, I'll say it was probably easier last year, but now this year, you know, things are getting back to normal. We'll say on the. Excuse me. I don't want to burp in the microphone. Probably wouldn't have been the first one, too.
No.
But yeah. But yeah. So now that things are starting to get a little bit back to normal, you know, with say mostly on the draft side or like with you know people going out more and whatnot. Yeah, so
licensee accounts
and whatnot. So yeah, things are getting busy again for Upstreet. And now also with Libra, just on this like wild growth trajectory or whatever, it's a wild summer and so we're running out of a different beer or a different product like every week, probably just trying to make sure we don't run out of Love Libra.
Yeah,
and we're out of Libra right now in most of the flavors. So we have we launched at the LCBO. I don't know when it was. I guess in May or whatnot. But then in June, they've already ordered double or triple the amount that they said they were going to order. So yeah, so we don't have any left right now until the next batch is ready, which I think we're canning on next Tuesday. Yeah.
Is it? I keep throwing questions at you. Is the turnaround time relatively simple?
That's the like point
similar,
of this, right?
Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm interviewing you. Is the turnaround time like relatively similar to like just brewing your regular beer?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, maybe like a couple days shorter, but for the most part, just because we let them fully ferment, they do need some conditioning time and whatnot, so to sort of, you know, smooth out all the off flavors that come in regular beers too.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of those things seem to take longer even in the non-alcoholic ones. Yeah,
and you mentioned though you guys have been buying more tanks, and you're still like just.
Yeah, yeah. So we've added, we're adding three 90-barrel tanks.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're brewing into the first one on Thursday. I'm actually not even going to be there for it, which is wild. But
is it a 9 brew day? You just start, just go the whole day.
And yeah.
Fill it up.
we brew it in one day to fill that tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we're adding three of those tanks, and then that's going to basically like almost not quite double our capacity, but it's probably like, you know, increase our capacity by 40%.
That's a lot of capacity.
And it's still probably not going to be enough.
But
yeah. It's probably still not going to be enough. So yeah, we're trying to get the barbecue brew house going as well. Like we hired a new brewer, and so that's why I'm over here in Halifax with you guys, because I'm brewing at and making seltzers at the barbecue brew house all week. Yeah, yeah.
I think I remember the last time, like when we got some Rewind. It was last summer. I remember the mix packs that came over, and everybody that was working that day when I took the mix pack, I was like, we can't even get these here.
Yeah. So I think they are available now in a few different places here, but yeah, early
demand,
on they
right?
were
like
not.
Those seltzers are great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can get them at I guess Bishops and Rockhead carry them now. Yeah.
You have to bleep that one out. Yeah.
Take a
they don't
stamp.
Exist.
Because, that's the other thing, is you guys are making the Rewind seltzers as well.
So the seltzers, we launched that in April 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we were, or May, whatever it was during that those first few months. But
they blur together.
That weird like pandemic-y early phase. Yeah.
Again, it was something we were planning to do, and then it just happened during the pandemic is all. So those ones. Again, just trying to, you know, diversify our beverage offerings and, you know, the Upstreet mission is to refresh the community. So we kind of try to do that in whatever ways we can with different types of beverages. Yeah.
So what's next? Flavored soda water?
It's the wineries.
Next we're just going to buy a winery.
You're going to buy Van Campen's and just put a bunch of cool vines in there and off you go.
Yeah, yeah. Just start making... Well, they grow a lot of tomatoes back there. We'll just start making, like, craft micheladas and Caesars.
Yeah. It's Upstreet Clamato coming up.
That's going to be my retirement, just growing tomatoes. Yeah.
You see you wheeling around there. A little pair of pruners.
Yeah.
Make my way. It's good.
Amazing. Oh, man. Yeah, it's wild to see. Like, you talk about how it started, like, 2 years ago. Like, in my mind, like, Libra's been around for longer than that. It's like, even though I walk into Sobeys, it's still kind of novel to me to see it there. But it feels like it's been available there for a while. But it's been less than a year, I assume, that it's been in Sobeys.
Yeah, yeah. It was just last August that it went in there. And yeah, even I don't know, whatever. I still get excited seeing it on the shelves. Like, when I'm going over to buy my croissant smoked meat sandwich next door to that Sobeys. Yeah. There's a Sobeys right behind Upstreet.
Oh, amazing.
I guess we're, you know, Upstreet's behind the Sobeys, maybe.
I don't know. However you want to word it.
Yeah.
But it's still cool seeing it. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
It would be.
Yeah. And it's funny asking for it, like, at random places and stuff, too, just to see if they carry it or not.
Or if they know, like, if they're aware.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. So yeah. And even... Honestly, it's just exciting seeing more and more like non-alcoholic beer offerings. So
yeah.
I was just at the Brown Hound for supper, and I asked if they had Libra, and they didn't, but they had the Propeller NA Lager. Yeah. So I had that. Yeah,
it's refreshing.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It is. Yeah, it's very crisp.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think we talked about that back in the winter. They're different animals, you know, if you look at the Libra Pilsner versus that, but they're
absolutely
they both serve a spot for sure.
Yeah. Do I get a beer?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, quick break in the action.
We are taking a break.
Peeked myself out here.
We're taking a break from talking
to talk some more about our sponsor,
Bishop Cellar,
located obviously down the beautiful down to Halifax waterfront at Bishop's Landing.
Yeah, great spot, great staff.
Can see the drunken lampposts.
Yeah, it's true, and you can become one too.
You too.
I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't do it in the store. I don't know.
On
do it at home and then come be a drunken lamppost with lampposts. Anyway, so if you get downtown, check out the store, talk to the staff, ask them some questions.
Yep.
Get somebody to point you in the direction of some great beer.
There's some great new stuff out.
Just brought in a pile of really great stuff.
Lucas is hustling now.
Yeah, he's hustling hard. And if you want to be in the know, what I would highly recommend you do is subscribe to the newsletters.
Yes.
Newsletter.
It's just one. It comes to you a few times a week.
So Fridays. And then they had the Wine Wednesdays. Also good.
Yep.
And if you're like me and you want to shop at home, if you spend $150 on the store, they will ship it to you for free. If you spend less, there's a small shipping fee.
Indeed.
Very reasonable. But I mean, like, it's always a great time to load up your cellar. You can throw in some Libra in there to balance things out.
That's right. Find your balance.
But yeah, I guess we'll get back to the episode.
Yes, sir. We're back.
Oh, are we back?
We stopped getting some more
ever.
Beer.
Well, we're here. I don't know.
We're still
I'm
here.
I'm not better than anybody.
All right. We stopped to get another beer, but we're also going to try a Libra here.
We're going to try a Libra. You have a social media question?
I have one from our former host, Phil.
Oh, no.
He always helps.
It's a good question.
It is. I remember reading it saying, wow, this is actually good. This guy should host a podcast.
He said, how creative can you get with non-alcoholic? Like, could you make something like a Russian Imperial, or can you barrel age, or that kind of stuff?
Aging would be weird.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would... Okay, I've seen barrel aged... I've seen a brewery in the U.S. was selling, like, barrel-aged non-alcoholic stout for like $25 a bottle,
really?
or something. But I think they aged it and then they de-alkalized it.
Excuse me?
Ooh.
Yeah. People bought it. Yeah. Yeah. And if the haters, they just said, screw you. Like, someone's buying it.
I think it's very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just shocked at the $25.
Yeah, no,
but I mean,
I guess
it's just like a beer. The production costs are there.
Yeah, probably more so once you get, if you're de-alcoholizing after the fact. Like, that's specialized equipment. And
there's, as part of that, there's this huge network of like different like non-alcoholic beer like Facebook groups and stuff.
Really?
That we kind of lurk on, I guess we'll say. Yeah.
Like, is that like big in the States or big?
It's big in the States mostly. Yeah, there's not really Canadian ones. Sometimes there'll be a bit of chatter about non-alcoholic beer on like that, you know, the Maritime Beer Lovers Facebook page, Maritime Beer One.
That's a ride, that is.
Interesting from time to time.
You
lurk, right? I lurk in there every now and again. I go, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Or there's like a Canadian Craft Beer Lovers one that's all Ontario.
Okay. Yeah, of course,
There's that was a Beer Trade one, too, that was all like...
Right.
Yeah.
All very Ontario, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I've like tried. I mean, I haven't actually done a pilot, but I've imagined imagined a non-alcoholic imperial stout. I kind of have something in mind that I want to try.
Yeah,
that'll end up being like a higher calorie count than what our current Libra stout is.
At just 30 calories. But you can play with that calories. Too, right? Like, I think you can play with the lactose or chocolatey thing going on.
Yeah,
there.
I really try to amp up that. Yeah, that whatever perceived sweetness and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can exist. I would also say that like said before, like we when even going through the piloting process, it's like, okay, we made, you know, say like the Libra Hazy IPA. It's like we made an IPA and it's kind of like once you get to the end and like you hit your specs, like you hit your ABV and you hit your calories and your carbs. In some ways, like that's the beer. Like like you can't change it at that point. Like, or any changes that we do, like basically have to go back to the beginning kind of thing. So we had an original Libra Hazy. I don't think we even sold it because it. Well, it kind of hit the specs, but I'll say it was like a budget buster.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was probably super expensive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, expensive is like relative to like what a regular craft beer would be, but
irresponsible.
Fiscally irresponsible. Yeah. And people will say, "Okay, well, how come Libra is so expensive?" And I mean, it's slightly less than a regular craft beer, but it's more than, you know, no-name blonde ale or something that. But it uses all the real ingredients and, like, you know, expensive specialty malts and hops. And it's the same turnaround time. It's the same amount of labor to produce the beer. The cans cost the same. The cans cost more because we have these, you know, fancy gold lids on top of them. And
you have to have the nutritional information.
Yeah,
on
you have to have nutritional information. So, I mean, all those things that, you know, whatever. It, yeah. But people have to kind of see that, figure out that value for themselves.
I mean, it's the same when you look at it from like a local made, I'm going to do air quotes here.
Yeah.
Local made craft beer perspective.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there is that little bit of that markup, right? That locally produced, you know, I mean, you can't economies of scale at the same way like Budweiser can.
No.
Right.
Like it doesn't work that
no,
way.
No, exactly. Yeah. Like we've gotten the pale ale. It's the only one in printed cans. We will have the other ones in printed cans eventually, but that's kind of as far as we can. That's kind of as far as we can take it as a small.
Yeah.
We're still a small craft brewery. Like, yeah. Yeah. That's as far as we can take it as far as like cost cutting goes until we, you know, start producing at a you know, higher volume, but I don't think we're ready to take take another dive into another brewery.
Yeah. Right, because the printed cans are cheaper, but you have to buy a container full, right?
Yeah, you have to buy 200,000 at once. Yeah,
you got to
store
that many cans.
Yeah, you
got
to store them. And, I mean, you guys have been to Upstreet before, so we've taken on more of a footprint even before. So we did that interview up in that little office or whatever.
Yeah.
People listening to this aren't going to understand what we're talking about.
No, okay.
But we had this like little warehouse at that point and the office. But now we have a whole other building that's like almost, I guess, half the size of the brewery now. It's the building in behind where there was a... I guess there was a Panda Fun and there was a Frenchies before that and stuff.
So
we've taken over that space, and that's all of our warehouse space.
Wow.
And office space. And we have more staff, so people need a place to work and whatnot, of course. And then we also have added we have this like fleet of containers, like five containers and five trailers that are just filled with other like things that we need to store. Like mostly cans.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, they take up space. They're
so
air.
I mean, that, you know, that it's all stuff that you have to buy.
Brutal.
Just sitting there. Yeah.
So I guess like we have been here drinking real beers.
Yep.
But we're dipping into, not that non-alcoholic beer isn't real beer.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I keep saying it's real beer, and that's what, you know, other like-minded non-alcoholic craft breweries are saying too, is that it's real beer too. Yeah.
It just doesn't have any alcohol in it.
Yeah.
So we're drinking the Cherry Sour.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is the only one I haven't had before.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
It's really nice because I was worried, any cherry thing, I'm really worried about like that medicinal, like,
that's right,
that would taste like Halls.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Which is,
no.
You know, which
it's
is
like
the,
a, like a
my
sweet
first
fruit
instinct.
Note, but it's like, I like it because it's not like overwhelmingly cherry-y.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, but it doesn't taste artificial in that way. Like, again, like it doesn't come off as medicinal, because cherry really can go two ways, right?
Yeah,
it can go really harsh medicinal, or it can go like super sweet.
Yeah, yeah. So there's no natural flavors in it.
Yeah.
It's like it's real cherry, like Montmorency cherry concentrate that we use in it. That I mean, one of my favorite beer styles is Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's not a Creek, but it's like, you know, it's a reimagined non-alcoholic version of that beer. Yeah.
Now, it says here on the list, souring blend. Is that like an escarpment type?
Can you get into that at all?
Yeah.
I guess it's a question.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
Yeah. Or no, it's not an escarpment thing. It's basically like, because... Kettle souring doesn't really work like on the non-alcoholic side. There's basically not enough malt and whatnot. So we have to use this like souring acid blend, basically, that we blend into the beer to sour
kind
of thing.
Kind of punches up that like tartness. And,
yeah.
It's cool.
Because it's nice. It's not like super, super tart, but it's, you can tell like there's a...
No, but I drank a couple of Two Crows beers for my cellar last night, so my palate
is toast, is it?
Well, you don't need a chaser of Pepto-Bismol with this one.
Yeah, it's not that sour. Like, now, that said...
But you do feel it like up in the sides a little bit.
Yeah,
it goes up.
Like
it's
in
there.
It does go up, which is nice.
Yeah.
As a side, I didn't need any Pepto for those beers.
Right.
They were quite sour, but...
Okay, yeah.
Cool. Anyway, I can't even get into that right now.
No, sorry. I didn't mean to, like...
No, it's okay. No, I went off... I'm going back to the beer that I drank last night. It was, like, super, super sour, and then it just, like, straight up jam.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, a bottle of jam. And I was like, this is so cool. And then I didn't share it with Danielle. I was like, you won't like this at all.
Yeah.
It's like telling the kids it's spicy. Yeah. No, you won't like this.
Yeah.
Now, are you able to tell us if you have any more? It's the other person that just asked a question, said it isn't a question, just make more beer. Do you have any other kind of types in the pipeline you're working on that you're able, other than your secret collaboration in the fall?
Yeah. So we have the collaboration, and then the the pumpkin spice beer is coming back in August. Excuse me. Yeah, and then we're trying to figure out what to put out next. So I've done like pilot batches on like a West Coast IPA.
Okay.
Non-alcoholic. I mean, I think we're finding just unlike, like, same as regular craft beers, hops lead the way kind of thing. Yeah. So yeah, people want, you know, different hoppy offerings or what. Like the pale ale and the IPA are by far the two biggest sellers. Yeah. And then, like, I'm kind of working on, I'll just say it's kind of a pet project because it's like, I mean, not, I don't think it's a big, it's going to be a big seller, but I'm trying to make a non-alcoholic saison.
Oh,
as
nice.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've done a pilot on it and I'm trying, I'm working with, not working loosely, but like emailing with Escarpment Laboratories about how to get enough flavor, basically get enough flavor out of the yeast in a non-alcoholic.
Because you need to get the yeast to do the work, right?
Yeah. Of course, to get that profile.
Yeah. So that's been kind of fun. And I'm still, I mean, I've done like a couple pilots and it's like not quite estery enough.
Right. Obviously, like, that's a quintessential,
a very yeast-driven,
saison is that sort of the estery, peppery kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or like a saison, or like a non-alcoholic, like Belgian white or something like that.
That's
so cool. Like a more basically trying to do like a non-alcoholic yeast-forward beer.
I was about to ask like what is the hardest thing about developing a style, but it sounds like that might be the hardest part. Like
Well, there's that yeast forward styles, and then just like what, you know, whatever people might describe as like the flavor matrix or whatever, I'll say is like difficult in non-alcoholic beers, being like the balance of like, you know, perceived acidity, and you know every beer has some sort of acidity and bitterness, hop aroma, malt flavor, and then with the absence of alcohol though, so. Trying to get all those things like really, really dialed in. And like when I said before, like when we get to the end of, you know, of the piloting process, then the recipe is the recipe, but that's also like it's based on that flavor matrix thing too. So like too bitter and it's just not on kind of thing. So some of the Libras that we've had to dump or whatever have ended up too bitter. Yeah.
And then plus you're juggling tank space, right? Like you gotta make common, you gotta make do-gooder, you gotta do all this other stuff, and you can't be filling tanks with, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah.
Especially this time of year. I mean, like you said, you got licensee accounts are back online. You got people stopping by the brewery, I'm sure, all summer. And
and we're trying. You know, said this before. Trying hard not to alienate all of our existing upstreams and rewind. Customers, you know,
that's the tough thing.
It's not really acceptable to them that we're out of Go Devil because we're selling Libra to the LCBO or something like that.
But at the same time, I mean, the LCBO is the largest alcohol purchaser in the world, and you want to make sure you fulfill that order as well,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So, you know, the find Libra, we say, you know, it's like find your balance.
We're finding
your balance
in the brew house.
That's a message on the can, but it's also a message for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I just stare in the mirror
every morning.
Every morning.
Find your balance, Toby.
Yeah.
I'm watching you. Oh, man.
Tricky.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that happens even if you weren't making Libra. You're still trying to find the right blend of beers to make, right? Especially you got things like, I'm sure Common takes longer than everything else. And
no, exactly. And we're our own worst enemies, but this is a beer podcast, but we've expanded our rewind offerings too. We have like
way more flavors this year, right?
Nine different flavors of rewind out right now. Actually, I should have brought you guys the hop seltzer. You probably would have.
You'd probably
like that one.
Right,
so
it's cool.
So yeah, it's like a galaxy hopped passion fruit.
That is cool.
Seltzer. That's pretty.
Because I really
enjoyed
any of like the hop waters that have come around.
Yeah.
So to have it.
It's kind of like
alcohol.
Hop water with, you know, a little bit more sweetness and vodka.
So you're. Just a brief aside. Rewind is it's vodka soda, correct?
Vodka seltzer. Yeah. So we have two mix packs and then six packs and we're they're making different size batches of each of the ones, and the turnaround time is super quick on them. But also we have so many different flavors that like it's just, you know, we're again trying not to run out of one or the other, yeah, kind of thing. Yeah.
I will say, yeah, though, your marketing team does a bang up job. Like Upstreet, Rewind, and Libra very much feel like discrete
brands. They're their own brands.
And they are their own brands, but feel very distinct.
Yeah. I would say Rewind has like a really, like, from my own, like, looking at the marketing perspective, it has a really fun vibe to it. I don't know how else to describe it. Yeah. Like
fanny packs and bucket hats.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Does it say that on the can?
It should. But
it should.
Yeah.
But if you didn't know, they feel very different, and that's cool that they've been able to kind of stand on their own like that.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to ask, because like with the Rewind, it's a gluten-free thing.
Yeah.
Like, do you have to worry about any like cross-contamination from, like, are you using the same equipment to do the...
We use some of the same equipment, but we have what's called an ATP tester that basically, like, it basically tests for any organic matter, like, in between runs. So we're basically able to, a lot of, you know, food processing companies would have, like, food manufacturing would have this type of thing. So we're basically able to, you know, validate that it's, like, that there's no trace of beer in it. You know, not to say we haven't had some cross-contamination or issues, right, or whatnot, but we actually got all the Rewinds and the Libras tested, and they're we can't say that the Libras are gluten-free because they're made on the same equipment as the regular,
right,
beers, but they were all below the threshold for what's considered gluten-free.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I think we're going to, you know, in the next round of label updates, say that they're gluten-reduced,
right,
or whatever. Yeah, but the Rewinds, I guess technically we can say that they're gluten-free because they're not... Basically, we have two tanks that are dedicated to Rewinds, and they haven't had beer in them for a while, kind of thing. And,
so the first batch was a little dicey, but since then they've been good.
Yeah, they don't go through the brew house or anything like that. We don't auger the vodka. Yeah,
amazing.
Be a good way to clean the auger, actually. Yeah.
Who needs a CIP when you get?
Well, yeah, that, you know, that 95% neutral grain spirit is most nasty.
It's gotta smell something awful.
It smells like paint thinner. Yep. you get a little drop on your skin. It just like sucks every last drop of moisture. Yeah.
Is that obviously something you guys buy, like, for the
We buy it in bulk from a distillery in Saskatchewan.
Cool.
They
do a lot of that out there.
Yeah. It's an interesting business model. It's owned by a conglomerate of grain farmers.
Yep.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. They make whatever wheat they might not sell for flour or for whatever else wheat goes into. They ferment it out and make 95% neutral grain spirit. Yeah.
But that's that's how you get all those, like, there's all kinds of wild and weird flavored vodkas or things that are like not vodka, but they're,
right,
what did I see, like a peanut and whiskey flavored alcohol, but that's what got me. I was like, it's whiskey flavored,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like, you know, that they just took a neutral spirit and they're like, well, I'm just gonna
tweak
that a little.
Totally.
I keep alternating between this Tanugush Pilsner and the Libra, and they're both quite delicious.
Yeah, nice.
And you really notice the tartness when you do go back and forth. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like it's definitely present.
Yeah. So the cherry was interesting too, because obviously fruit and cherries have sugar as well, and that contributes to the alcohol. So trying to stay below that threshold. Yeah. And then,
because the cherry is still listed as
boosting
0.4,
the flavor,
right,
back up with that little bit of sour stuff.
That's really fun. Like I've been saying for a while, like the Hazy IPA is a good beer, like on its as a good beer, like it's not like for a non-alcoholic beer, like it's just it's a good beer.
That one's my favorite. We Yeah, we won an award. There was this New York International Beer Competition where any brewery that basically any product that's not sold in the state of New York is eligible to enter the competition. I mean, New York's massive. So.
Sounds like somebody in New York just wants to get really drunk.
Yeah. I mean,
they, just send me your stuff. Yeah.
I mean, So.
Write that down.
Nova Scotia International Beer.
Yeah. You guys totally could have your own competition. Yeah. I think they, you know, sell a template that you can just create your own competition and charge $300 an entry. And yeah.
Love it. It's the next fundraiser.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
We're going to Newfoundland.
Yeah. The best 902 Brewcast basement beer tasting. Gold medal.
That's right.
Yeah. Some of those awards kind of feel like that. Maybe this one feels a little bit like that.
But yeah, anyway, yeah. So state of New York.
So anyway, they had one non-alcoholic beer category, which was for lagers only.
Which is the bulk of them, I assume, though.
Yeah, most of them would be lagers. So yeah. we won a bronze in that one for the Lieber Pilsner. But then they actually entered the Lieber IPA in against other regular IPAs, and so it wasn't the type of competition where there was like one gold, one bronze, one silver.
Yeah,
they basically had different tiers. So it's like these beers are gold tier beers. These beers are silver tier beers. Yeah. Anyway, so. Make a long story long. The Lieber Hazy IPA won was awarded a silver medal in the IPA category.
Interesting.
Amazing.
It's got to be. I mean, to me, that sounds like what they do is they have like a threshold for a score, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's they probably have a score sheet, and this point to this point is gold. This point, yeah.
Yeah. Write that down. Exactly. And they took it into consideration that it was non-alcoholic and. Graded it on a curve or whatever, I guess we'll say. Anyway, it's cool to see it on the list of awards again, like in the same block as other regular IPAs too.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool though.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I love having that around, like just the middle of the afternoon or I always like drinking these on between Christmas and New Year when I have to work, and it's like I've been drinking for 4 days. It's like, okay, well, I'll have one of these while I'm working today, and then
one for me.
Yeah,
that'd be the one I'd have the most of, the IPA.
And I love having them in the house. Like people come over if they're driving, if they're don't want a beer, whatever the case might be, they're great to have in the fridge.
Have like, one with, you know, lunch and
exactly.
Yeah,
nothing to sneeze at, right?
No, I mean it's they're fun to drink.
I think some people I don't know. I don't know if there's still like a stigma around like just drinking non-alcoholic beer as like a beverage of choice. Like it seems like it's pretty enjoyable beverage to have around if you want something that's different. And like I drink a lot of water, so like I'm up for anything that isn't just cold and clear.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of thing is going away. Like I think like the poking fun at near beer and yada yada, like I feel like that's definitely
subsided. Yeah, the stigma is definitely lifting and
well, I feel like this stuff though is it's sort of, I mean, I won't say it's in the face of that, but like it definitely goes like near beer doesn't taste like beer or tastes like this. It's like it can if you do it right, and if you approach it like with I think the same mindset that you're approaching it with, right? Is that it's...
No, you can... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we want it to taste good. And we get all kinds of super gushy messages in emails and whatnot on people that, you know, whatever, they're struggling with their relationship with alcohol and they still want to be able to, you know, socialize without sacrificing that.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it doesn't feel like a compromise, right? Like, it doesn't. Yeah. It's not a grocery store brand lager that you're trying to like hide that you're pouring in a glass to pretend that you're drinking beer. Like, it's no different. You know, to be able to just.
I mean, you hear the stories of people accidentally buying O'Doul's or something like that, and they just get roasted for that. Yeah. But. You know.
I didn't know they sold beer at the grocery store here.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Or the Heineken on the Kenny versus Spenny episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to have alcohol to have a good time. Yeah.
It's true.
No, and it's like, I think part of it is how good of a job the, you know, the marketing is done with these too. Like, it doesn't, like, again, it doesn't feel like you're making a compromise to drink a non-alcoholic beer. It's just the beverage you chose that day.
Yeah.
And it, yeah,
I'm down with that.
That's a,
yeah, totally.
It's been nice to see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to give up like regular beers completely. And
right.
That's my choice and whatnot. But like, everyone can kind of find where Libra fits in to that kind of thing for them.
I've got friends who are beer nerds and they're pregnant now, and like, these are great. They can still good. They can try a variety of things. They're readily available. Like, it's a nice transition for that.
How awful is that you can get it everywhere and like,
right? You order on the internet. It just comes to your house if you want.
I love things that'll just show up at my house when I ask for them.
Yeah.
And that's cool that LCBO is carrying them as well, like to have the option in the...
Yeah.
Have any other liquor corps been...
Yeah, it's kind of different in every province and whatnot, but we are... It is available in every province now, you know, so we have another big customer of ours is called Left Coast Naturals.
Right.
And they're based out of BC, and so they carry, like... Libra, and they carry like different, like, you know, granola bars and what did we have, like, they had some sort of like these crispy chip replacement type snacks that are just like
You guys were on Well for a while, are you still on there?
Yeah, we're still on Well. So we're on there, and they're great to take, like, if we have a new beer or whatever, like, they're great to take like even a small quantity kind of thing. But yeah, it's in every province now, which is pretty cool. And,
yeah, it's super cool.
We're shipping up to the Northwest Territories and everything with the online store, that one. But most places you should be able to physically buy it somewhere in your province.
But the LCBO, do they sell like in their stores?
Yeah, they sell LCBO sells it at their stores.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and they sell, like, they have, like, Partake, and they have, like, Budweiser and some of those other ones and stuff, too, but,
That's awesome.
But we're, I mean, it's doing really well for just kind of getting in there. I think we're only in half the stores right now. We'll be in all of them by the end of the summer, but
it's wild to me that it's been 2 years. It's wild to me that it's only been 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's quite a beast.
Pandemic feels like it's been on forever, so.
Yeah.
All right. I guess
I'll take one last peek to make sure we get.
Yeah,
more
just double check one last question. But I was gonna say, do you have anything else like kind of coming down the pipe? Like, I get, like, what I like again, like, you talk about like handing out beers at, like, you know, Fredericton Harvest, all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
There's so many options or opportunities that, like, I think that some companies just won't have. Like, I see that. Like, I mean, yeah. To me, I'm like, oh, think about like sporting events and all that other stuff, like.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, so, I mean, Athletic Brewing, I don't know if you guys have heard of them before or not, but they'd be, you know, the largest, like, non-alcoholic brewer in the U.S. now. Like, they're sponsoring stadiums, like, people, you know, on these, I was talking about these non-alcoholic Facebook groups and stuff, you know, people are out at, like, a baseball game, and it's like, okay, there's, you know, Athletic on the scoreboard and stuff like that, and it's, you know, and it's totally normal. Yeah,
I get bombarded with ads for them all the time.
I'm even thinking like at the local level, like thinking like different kinds of races, or, you know, whether it's bike or foot races or anything like that.
Yeah,
like
exactly. So we will have things like that, like, probably coming
in
out.
Time. Yeah, I'm not saying like now, but like
and even like, I don't know. To do like a Libra beer dinner, like stuff like
oh,
something like
so
that
cool.
would be
yeah,
pretty.
That'd be
was,
wild.
Yeah.
Because you guys have done the Carlton before, right?
Yeah,
we've
done the Carlton. Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
We went up against Big Spruce. I don't even know when that was. A couple months ago now or something. And we threw a Libra Pilsner into the lineup. Yeah, I think we won by like 16 votes or something. over the course of the night. But
amazing.
I just said at the beginning, I'm gonna take you guys on a roller coaster of ABVs tonight. So we had Blue Meanie 8% blueberry double IPA, and but then also the what do you have? Yeah, Go Go Goza, I think we had in there, and yeah, the Libra Pilsner.
That's
fun. Yeah. Yeah, it's
fun
to have all these different...
That is a roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun to have all these different types of drinks that we can offer to people, and yeah.
You good?
It's awesome. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for meeting up with us.
Cool. Man, seriously. Yeah, yeah, thanks. It's always great to see you.
Yeah, no, it's great to see you guys too.
Been a while.
Yeah, I'm glad we could... Glad we'd get together. And
thanks to the Freehouse for this corner.
Yeah, I was just going to thank the darts.
I'm going to have to throw a dart, otherwise I'm going to feel bad.
It's a good time, man.
Yeah.
Darts are fun.
180. So,
I guess if people are looking out for you, for Upstreet Instagram, you can search Upstreet Brewing. Libra, you want to search Libra. Is it Libra?
Got the TikTok channel going.
There's TikTok?
There is.
I don't have a TikTok.
The Upstreet TikTok is great.
I don't know about TikTok. Yeah.
If there's one,
one. There's an Upstreet one at least. I think there's a Libra one as well.
Yeah, we do some silly stuff on there that
I like it.
Some things I don't get, but I just say do it. Yeah, we have younger people for that.
That's right.
So you find Libra pretty much. I mean, you can order it online.
Like you
can
find it any province.
Any province, you can find it. Sobeys in the Maritimes.
Yep. Soon. It'll be being Loblaws in the next month too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Here's like in the in this area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's hang out.
Say Loblaws, we call it Superstore here. But
Pop in, say hi to Galen Weston.
Yeah, it's fun. You walk in, you see a little display, and it's Libra, it's peak at zero, and it's like this. It's cool to see.
Yeah,
it's a great little.
And it's also. I will also point out to some Libra SKUs are available at Bishop Cellar.
Indeed, I believe so.
They are.
We would tell you to request it at your local watering holes, and they could.
It's true. It's nice to have options.
An order in.
Yeah,
Stillwell has it here.
Don't think so.
Yeah, they do.
It's in
the fridge. It's on the menu.
You said the pale ale, yeah.
Yeah, still has the pale ale.
Maybe they'll have a bit more here.
I'm going to leave them the other four flavors and see what happens.
Yeah. Only good things can happen. All right.
That's right.
You want to wrap it up?
Yes, sir.
Boom, boom.
All right, thanks.
Fuck it up.
All right, that's it.
That was close.
Man, what was a quick episode.
Pretty good.
I really came in hot there.
It wasn't 4 hours.
No, it wasn't four.
As promised.
I mean, I didn't want it necessarily to be like too short, but I was just saying like 2.5 hours was too long. Yeah.
So yeah, big thanks to Hoagie for hanging out, chatting about Libra, and for the actual Libra that we enjoyed drinking
this evening.
Always
for the Upstreet in our car.
Yeah, it's true. The Upstreet in the car.
It's not against the law to give away free Libra.
It's true.
That's
it's
right.
Not against the law. So thanks to Hoagie. Thanks to everybody at Libra. Everybody that makes the stuff. It's all good.
That's right.
It's a good crew. Want to shout out to the
thanks to Kyle over there too.
Pardon?
Thanks to Kyle over there too. It's the good people. That's
true.
Evil
Kyle.
The
good people I caught.
He sent you some Libras in the winter and they froze.
That was this Kyle's fault.
I think Tony still holds it against him to buying him commissar in the middle of the night a few years ago.
I call him Evil Kyle just for that. Shout out to the Freehouse staff for putting up with us, hanging out in the dark corner, shooting verbal darts. I guess we got a couple episodes in the pipe. We'll post them on social media because I don't know what order they're coming in.
Right.
Always want to thank our sponsor, Bishop Cellar.
Of course.
We mentioned it in the middle of the episode at the start. Go visit the store. Go to the website. Sign up for the newsletters. If you spend $150 online, they will ship your product anywhere in Nova Scotia for free.
Yep.
If you buy less than that, you can pay a nominal shipping fee and they'll get it to you. But that's it.
No problem.
Do we do it?
That's it.
Are we done?
Yep.
All right, let's close it up.
Cue the decur solo.